service with us tonight. We hope they are enjoying our city beautiful and enjoying their time here with us worshiping. We're glad to have them. And right before church, I got a phone call from Pastor Dale Rogers from down in St. Cloud. And they have a missionary that is in with them that his car broke down today. And Brother Rogers called, apologizing for calling, number one. But called right before church. I was actually on the phone right 95 minutes before. But, he said the car still has life, 2-3 years in the engine and transmission, but there's front end troubles, about $1,300. So, somebody calls, they don't normally call. Brother Rogers never calls and asks. So when he called, it must be a real need. So, Manny, if you do me a favor, will you go back there and get a plate? Jared, will you get a plate? Offering plate? And if you can help tonight with this need, why don't you take up an offering? Don't need no music. Do what you can do. If you can't do nothing, God knows. Actually, this missionary that he is the Gruden family, and he actually, the Lord laid him on my heart 3 weeks ago, and I thought it was for a meeting, so I contacted him, and when I wanted him to come, he was already booked, so maybe this was it. If you have ability to help, do what you can do, and here you go, Jerry. Jerry. Church, it'd be okay with you, whatever this is, if we could match it all the way up to $1,000 from our missions account, be a blessing if we could help them. Brother Rogers' church is a small church, and they don't have the funds to help them. Yeah, don't miss, come on down over this way, guys. Spread on around. More blessed to give than to receive. I know how front-end stuff can be. There's a ring up here on this thing. Brother Jim, did you put that there? Got a pearl ring. Oh, you found it. I was like, this fly is killing me.
Yes.
And I'm like, what is this? A pearl ring found in the parking lot. Going 100. No, it's cheap for a pearl ring. It's yours?
Sell it?
Keep going, she said. All right. She found it out there in the thing. Sweetheart, where are you at? Can you give him the missions book, please? They're going now. But Dave, she'll bring the missions book to you over here to the. Just bring it over here to them. They don't have the vault way over yonder. Oh no, they're going that way. So keep walking. Make things easy on you. All right, thank you for that. A couple of weeks ago, I was having a grinding sound in my truck, and I changed everything in one area, and then my son-in-law said, "Dad, why is that grinding sound coming from your rear wheel?" I changed the whole front right side, and it was the whole back side. So anyways, thank you guys for your help on that. We're going to be in 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy, I told you Sunday we were done with 2 Timothy. And I went back and started reading through it again. And I just couldn't let it go. I had to come back to it. There's just too much there. Tonight, we're going to look real quick. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 14 through 17 tonight. And then we're just going to just talk a little bit about maybe even some recapping of what we looked at Sunday, but actually another portion just kind of stuck out to me when I was reading back through it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. And these actually first two words just stuck out at me. But continue. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Sorry. Honey, did they get the name? Jamie Gruden. Jamie Gruden. That's the check. You can't spell it? Man, do me a favor. Run that back to my wife. All kind of commercials. Thank you. Let me write the check. Lord knows who over there. All right, let's start again. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, Paul tells us here in the chapter 1, verse 1, he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. That's grievous or hard to bear times will come. So in perilous times will come, and then he begins to tell us why it will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love. I mean, it is something right now. I mean, boy, we love ourselves. Instead of having Christian charity, that godly charity that we should have, and that godly charity helps us to look to others. But nowadays, we just look into self. How we can please self, how we can make self better. We can make self, we're self-absorbed in us. They've even labeled it a mental problem now. Narcissism or something. Where it's just all about us, me. I thought that had to do with not being able to sleep at night when I first heard it. But that's something else. What's that when you can't sleep at night? Not insomnia. It's like... Yeah, there we go. That's sleeping all the time? I thought that was lazy. Okay, see? You don't have to worry about me giving up my job to become a psychiatrist. I can't even keep up with all this stuff. But Paul says in the last days it's going to be hard to bear. Grievous, perilous times. Burdensome times that are on us. And sure enough, as you go through these and begin to look, men shall be lovers of themselves. Covetous. I mean, looking for what we can get. And just gaining more and more and more. It's actually dangerous to be covetous because, you know, it's like you can't never get enough. You just got to get more. You got to get more. You got to get more. You got to get more. And then he says here that they would be unthankful people. If you look there later on there, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Boy, it is hard to find folks that are thankful. Now, yesterday, when I come out of the print shop, I looked up here and there was a car, like head first, like driven. Looked like they just come and just went straight in the ditch. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was odd the way it was so straight in the ditch and at the spot it was, because there's no road on the other side. And it was a young lady that was in there, and there was an elderly gentleman. He was trying to help her. He was putting a stick underneath there, trying. It was front-wheel drive, and it wasn't going nowhere, just spinning and spinning and spinning. It was all the way out of the road. It wasn't blocking any traffic, and I went out there, said, let me get my rope. And I was trying to pull them out, and it just wasn't working, because when I got my tires on, they were just spinning in the grass. And all of a sudden, a lawnmower crew, like one of these yard landscaping crew, they just stopped. Six guys jumped up out of that thing, got around the front of that car, and we just pushed it right on out of there. I mean, they did jump, and people were blowing at us and you know, honking, because we had stopped the traffic. I think we stopped traffic for maybe 40 seconds, probably 37 seconds, but probably maybe 40. If it was long, it was 40 seconds. They were honking at us, and those guys just jumped out, grabbed, boom, boom, and that young lady was very grateful. I was surprised at how thankful in the society we live in. People are not usually thankful. You remember I told you the story that time the guy stopped me and said, I'm trying to get up to the bus stop. I'm having a hard time. And I gave him a $5 bill. And he looked at me and said, is that all? You give me. I was expecting 20. I said, okay, give me that $5 back. And I act like I was going, I stuck that $5 back in my pocket. And I just left him standing there. I mean, that's $5. And you're going to ask for 20? Unthankful. But I was surprised. This was a young lady. Probably had just got her driver's license. It was an older car. The tag was still a temporary tag. Probably just got, and she, you know, maybe she was texting. I don't know. But this is a bad spot. If you don't know how to drive, Boggy Creek is bad to drive, you know. And so, but what impressed me was, first of all, there was an elderly man that was trying his best to help. I mean, he was shoving sticks under there. You know, and trying to get some traction on. And then, the yard crew, they had places to go. You know, they work by the hour. Most of the time, they don't start getting paid till they actually get to the first job. So they took out of their time. And so here you have some folks that realize, you know, hey, there's somebody in need. Let me stop. We can help. Here comes this guy trying to pull a truck car, and he can't even get his truck to pull him out. And so they jump out, and then the gratitude. But we live in an unthankful society, don't we? They're unthankful. So there's grievous times because people are unthankful. I mean, we're in the latter days, and Paul's advice here was, listen, there's going to be seducers. There's going to be unnatural people without, verse 3, without natural affections. I mean, I never in my life thought that we would have folks that would just deliver a child, go through the whole process, and then put in a dumpster. I mean, we've been having abortions for a long time, but you go through carrying it, delivering it, and then put it, that's unnatural. That's unnatural affections. They're different. And we're there in this age which we're in, you know. But when we read our text, verse 14, but continue thou. Why did Paul need to give that encouragement to Timothy way back then? Well, I'm going to give it and pull it forward. That we're a couple of thousand years removed here. And so if Paul was saying to Timothy back then, well, hey, there's coming a day in the last days, perilous times, but continue thou in. He was encouraging him because, listen, there's going to be some folks this year that are going to be seduced by this world. Demas got seduced by this world. He left the mission track or the will of God for his life for the love of this present world. And there's going to be some. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, we're the Wednesday night crowd. Yeah, that's why we need to be encouraged. The devil's not worried about Sunday morning goers only. He really ain't. But friend, if he's got them 6 days and 23 hours. So this is who he's looking for. And so I wanted to encourage you to continue that. Keep on. You know, some are going to quit. There's going to be some, I'm telling you, dear friend, they're going to quit coming on Wednesday night because it gets tiresome. You work and you get going, you know, and Brother Judd sent me something about 3-4 weeks ago. It's a little old bitty clip, and it said this: it's not how far you live from the church, it's how far your heart is from God. You can make all excuses about far and distance and whatnot, but dear friend, when your heart is closed, Brother Felipe gave his testimony at the last 50 and over meeting, and he said that in Germany there was no church where they said as a military person, and the nearest church was 1 hour, and they were gone. Now, I'm not talking 1 hour like we spent 1 hour. Yesterday, me and the deacons, we went 17 miles, took us 1 hour and 12 minutes. Listen, I know it's hard in Florida, in Orlando. It's hard. But there's going to be some people that quit. There's going to be some people, dear friends, some godly people that start losing that natural affection. You've got to be careful. I'm not talking that you're going to go and take some baby out there and put in the dumpster. That's not what I'm talking about. We have a new nature. We have a divine nature. You know as well as I do, when we first got saved, dear friend, we was hungry and thirsty for somebody else to come to know our Lord and Savior as their personal Lord and Savior. That's natural for Christians to want to see people come to be born again to the family of God. There's going to be some folks that just lose that their desire. And when you lose that desire, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose the power of God. Pastor, how can you say that? Because Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after that the Spirit has come upon you, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto most parts of the world. It's connected. The Spirit of God, His job is to convict and to draw. Well, how does He do that? Through you and I. Through you and I. And so, continue thou. And he says here, one of the things that's going to happen, there's going to be those that despise those that do good. And boy, we're there. We are absolutely there. You remember a couple of months ago, or maybe it was a year now, maybe it's been a little longer than that, I forget. Time's run into my, get to going, and there's just so much going. But you remember when Vice President Pence had all that trouble from the media because he wouldn't go to dinner with another lady without his wife. You remember? And it seemed like at least 8 days of running him down because he was trying to do right. And I thought to myself, why didn't they run over there to the publisher of those skimpy, skinny little fornicating magazines? See, women just drive me. Listen, oh Lord, help me. Crazy girl. I love you, baby, I do. Listen, this women movement that gets mad at a man because he won't go to dinner with somebody, but ain't marching over there. Hustler, Playboy, High Society, all these filthy magazines that's exploiting women, and they're not marching? I don't get it. Because all they're doing is exploiting you beautiful ladies, God's crown of creation, but get mad at somebody that won't go to dinner with somebody that ain't their wife. They despise those that do good. They despise. How many has been knocked out of the political race because somebody just come up and said they did something? So we're there. Now we're going to move on past all that. We are in perilous times, and the best tale that we can have is they love themselves. False accusers. I just covered that, didn't I? Disobedient to parents. Blasphemers, unthankful, unholy. And that one, incontinent right there. Fierce, no self-control. I mean, people just going crazy on the streets nowadays. Blowing horns, running into people. Down here, about 2 years ago, right here on Boggy Creek, there was a car that was cutting in and out of traffic. Traffic has been bad. And they would run around as soon as they see it open and force their way in. Well, he forced his way in upon a four-wheel drive, and that four-wheel drive run up on top of the back of his car. It was like one of the big old monster cars. I mean, he just run up on him. And it was on purpose. It wasn't like by accident. No control. I mean, we are folks with absolutely no control. But then as Paul goes through all that, he gets down there in verse number 14, but continue that. Church, I'm telling you, you're going to see folks just sit down on God. So you're going to see folks that don't pass the baton. You're going to see folks that don't continue the race. But I want to tell you, keep on. Continue that. Continue pushing forward and continue going forward in the race of God. And the best reason I can say is go to verse 14 again and listen what it says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And don't stop there. See, we didn't always have the knowledge of where we're at, but we've learned some things and has been assured of knowing. This is what it says, of whom thou hast learned them. Continue, because you got to consider those that went before us. Consider those that you've learned some things from. I think back of all the times that I sit underneath the preaching of Pastor Sheffs and the things he taught me, and I consider those things. I consider him a faithful man of God. Consider who you've learned it from. Some of this stuff that we're learning is not coming from people that have set the right example. We're not learning from those who have blazed the trail and stayed faithful and fought the good fight and stayed in it till the end. When they did mess up, they get U-turned, they come back around and say, Lord, forgive me. They get right back up in there. Consider that. Consider who you've learned it from. You got to consider, continue thou in, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of good folks that have gone on and have kept the course. But you know what the devil does? He tries to show us all those that are nowhere to be found. He's trying to show us those that have just completely gone out of the race. He doesn't want to show us those. You know, the ones that are brought to mind aren't those that stay faithful, or those that had a little bit of difficulties and road bumps in their life, and then they got things right and came back. The devil don't want to show you that. Not at all. He don't want to show you somebody that stayed in it. He wants to show you somebody that quit to discourage you. So consider those. Listen, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse. That's what the Bible teaches us. This passage covers that. If you just study it, you read it, and look at it there in verse number 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Dear friend, may I encourage you as God's people, as God's children, you that are here on Wednesday night, may I encourage you to get better and better. Because it's a known deal. Evil men's going to get worse and worse. What's going to overcome evil? Good. What good do we have in us? Only what God has put in us. That's one of the, consider those that have persevered to the end and they fought good. And Paul said to Timothy, listen, would you continue in the truth which I taught you? Every one of us can, right now, if we stopped and paused, we can think about somebody that has taught us and they're still in it. They're still in it. Say, yeah, Pastor, but I know some that taught me truth and they're not in it no more. Listen, they are those instances. That's why Paul was warning Timothy. But you can stay, continue thou for the sake of those that are still in it and still are, how about consider those that are looking at you? Doesn't the Bible teach us in Titus that the older ladies should teach the younger, the older men should teach the younger men? Hey, you're to be teaching somebody. Consider that one that you're teaching and continue. I'm going to encourage you, dear friend, continue in it, because the Word of God is it's our strength, it's our encouragement. He says in verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Christ, and that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Listen, dear friend, the Scripture will make you wise. Not only to salvation, praise God, for the Word of God that brings us to the knowledge and understanding that we need Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and we give our heart to Him. But the Scripture is more than just to get us to show us our need for Christ. It is also to bring correction, sometimes reproof, and also instruction. It'll make you wise. Continue thou in what? The testimony of others, in the walk that you have, folks looking at you. You know, the little song, I forget what it goes, but it's, you know, "Daddy, walk a straight line." You know, some of you probably know what I'm talking about, you know, because they're going to step in it. And those that are walking behind us, walk a straight line, Mom. Walk a straight line. Continue thou in the Word of God, because the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this is different. When the Word of God reproves you, Word of God, you know, listen, God don't just, He's not a sprinkler system where He just spits water all around. Dear friend, when the Word of God, when it gets at you, it gets down to the point of the matter. Down into the bone and the marrow, the thought. It says the thought and intent of the heart. How many of you ever had some intents that you know weren't right? And then the Holy Spirit of God began to work in you and, hey, that's not right. And did correct, bring some correction, some instruction. The Word of God, listen, dear friend, the Word of God will direct us toward that which is right and holy and just in the eyes of God. I guess what we have to do is we got to consider this. Who are we trying to emulate? And who are we trying to please? Paul said this, whether absent or present, I want to please the Lord. Whether I'm outside of your view, Dick, or I'm in your view, I want to try to please God. Who are we trying to please? You got to consider, continue thou in. Why? Because he said there, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, not sinless, but a complete whole man of God or woman of God. Listen, we need to be complete in our walk with God and our service for God, and not lie.